number of us went to speak to the to hear the sage words of the Novominsky Rebbe. And he spoke about our journey through life. And he said it's similar to a person in a car, front seat of a car. You have the driver, the passenger. The driver's in control. The passenger is there for the ride. And his point to us was that we have to do our very best to see that the neshama, our neshama, is in the driver's seat. And the guf is in the passenger seat. The neshama brings us to the base medrash. The guf comes along. And every other part of whatever it could be to bring a person closer to Hashem. But this is the idea, that the journey in life is like a car ride, and therefore, just see that the neshama is in the driver's seat. He said also, it's like a wrestling match, you know? And you always have to want to see that you're the one who pins them down, and you're the one who stays on top. We spoke about it in the past, horse and rider. His muscle is much better. It's much more contemporary as far as that's concerned. I want to take us back in putting some of this in perspective. We're going to go further talking about the last time we spoke about Yetzer Hara. Now we want to talk about our approaches of strategies to overcome his strategies. And Halavai, it's again, Halavai, a baby, Halavai being born. And Mishataka had in mind that the schus of our learning this evening should be in Yetzer Hashem for those people who have been injured recently in a number of different situations that have occurred. And Halavai, the Abishas will help them, that we should come to a quick and good ending. Europe in the 80s, in the 1800s, the Ridvaz lived in the city of Slutsk, and his name was Rabbi Yaakov Dovid. He moved later on to Tzvas. So in the city, there was a butcher who was a frum fellow, worked hard, and on a Thursday evening, a doctor who was part of the community, but not part of the congregation, was passing by the butcher shop, and he saw the butcher sending away his customers, telling them, I have to close the store for an hour and come back if you wish afterwards, but have to stop. Have to stop, you know, working now. So the doctor, who himself was not anywhere an observant person, a Jewish man, he said, you know, he asked, like, what's going on? Why are you sending away your customers on Thursday night, which was the, you know, the best night of work? So he said, well, I have to get to shul. I have to daven, and I have to learn, and I'll come back in an hour. He said, what? Thursday night? You're going to send back away people? Some may not come back. You'll lose the money, etc. So the butcher says, well, I have to prepare for my olam haba. He says, olam haba? That's nonsense. That's nonsense. He says, maybe for you it is, but for me it isn't. I'm preparing for Olam Haba. So the doctor became a little irritated, and he said, oh my, he said, listen, I've saved many lives, and the doctor talking, I've saved many lives, and I've given away, I give charity, and I've taken care of people, even who could, you know, couldn't pay the doctor's bill. So I'll tell you what, I'll sell you my Olam Haba for a ruble. I'll sell you Olam Haba for a ruble. The butcher says, whoa, you know, I'm a hard-working Jew, but I've never saved lives and never did any of these things. I'll buy it. And then the ruble changed hands. So now the doctor gave the butcher the ruble. The butcher has the ruble. Doctor gives. And now the ruble, the butcher gives the doctor the ruble. And he buys the doctor's olam haba. A few years later, a woman comes into the store. She identifies herself as the widow of the doctor, and she says that her husband came back to her in a dream, and he looks terrible. And he says, he told her about what happened, and first of all, she wants to know, is it true? Did it really happen? He says, yeah, it did happen. Well, he said, he wants me to to take the ruble back. He wants me to buy back his olam haba. So the man says, listen, you know, he did things I never did. I'm not going to sell the olam haba back to you. So she went back to her home, and that night the husband appears. Now she explained to the butcher that the dream came back to her a few times before she even bothered to come to him, because the first time she thought it's just a dream. Second time it's a dream. Third time it's a dream. He kept telling her about the ruble, and fine. Then she checked it out. Now husband comes back. She says, you know, he's not going to sell it back. So he says, well, I want a din Torah. So they went to the Ritvaz. She went to the Ritvaz. She waited outside the shul. The Ritvaz was coming out of shul. She explained to him the situation. And they had a din Torah. People in the city found out about it in Slutsk. And the place was filled. Like, you know, it was as if it were Yom Kippur. And here they can imagine she gets up. She explains her side. And the butcher explains his side. And the Dayanim. In other words, you have the Ritvaz together with the people with them. They go in, they listen, they go in for a period of time, and then they come out. I want to share with you the Psak Halacha on this, because everybody was like, what's going to happen? Who's going to get... So she said the following. The butcher has to give the ruble back to the widow. The purchase is buckle. No one can buy anyone else's olam haba. Olam haba is something that when a person does his own mitzvah, learns his own Torah, it's something that's his. There's an or that comes from the mitzvah and the Torah that goes into the person, can't come out. It entitles him to olam haba. And he says, they compared it to a person who's cutting wood. He's hired for 50 ruble to cut wood. And he says, fine, if he wants to give the 50 rubles and assign it to somebody else, he can say, I'd like the 50 ruble to go to somebody else. But as he was cutting the wood, he was getting the benefit of the exercise. He was getting benefit of the good air that went through his body as he was doing the job. And therefore, that he can't sell. That's a part of him. So Torah and mitzvah become a part. It cannot be sold to anybody. Olam haba doesn't go. So, okay. And next, it's another part of the whole thing. The doctor loses his olam haba, but not for the reason that he sold it. He was mezalzel in olam haba. He doesn't believe in olam haba. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, that anyone who doesn't believe in olam haba loses olam haba. And that's what happened to him. Lost. Like, well, you know, this murmuring. So it comes out, it's lose-lose. The butcher doesn't make it, the doctor didn't make it. Now, third part of the psak. So the Ritvaz says, since a huge Kiddush Hashem came through this encounter, this discussion, this din Torah, huge Kiddush Hashem, of now the people realizing that olam haba is not a simple thing. That yes, the neshama goes through whatever it has to go through. All this involved in what happened over here. Huge, massive Kiddush Hashem. So the doctor gets the benefit of it. And he is going to be able to get a part of olam haba. For this. Because a mezakes harabim, sus harabim, tolibo. Mezakes harabim, eino neifel begehenim. So therefore, under these circumstances, the doctor will, yes, go to Gehenim, will go to Gan Eden, on a whatever level, because he brought a huge Kiddush Hashem as such. I mention this to you because the stakes are high. The stakes are high. Because we're talking about olam haba. It's like a person came for a din Torah to the Rav. A person who sold diamonds and bought diamonds. And now the wholesale and the retail were having a sichsuch. And they're really bitter, bitter sichsuch. You know, argument over the profit. How man? What's the percentage that I'm getting? So the Rav asked these two people, like, what's the difference in the amount of percentage? He says, 1%. He says, for 1%, you're so upset. He said, Rabbi, you don't understand. We're talking about a diamond of $1.5 million. $1.5 million. This is really, the percentage of 1% is huge. Well, the Emes says, Olam Haba, and all of us involved, getting to Olam Haba, not, God forbid, going anywhere else, is huge. And a person has to realize that as such. As we said last week, La Pesach Chatas Reivitz, the Avera, the Sotan, the Malachamovis, the Eitz Sahara, is by the door. But remember, V'atotim Shulva, we can always overcome it as such. Part of it is as follows. The Yetzer Hara tries to make us feel that we're not going to be victorious. We're not going to be, you're not going to make it anyway. And the emphasis is, let's remember, number one, Hashem never gives us a challenge which is too hard for us. That's the claw. I can do it. So we said success comes in cans, not Heinz beans, nothing. Cans. I can do it. I will do it. I've done it. Ha, that's it. It comes in cans. And this is the idea. Where do you see it? Yifas Torah. Yifas Torah. The halacha is, in Parshas Kisei Tzei L'Melchama Aleivecha, that a person is allowed, Dibra Torah Keneged Yetzirah. And the Dibra, the Torah, allows a soldier to take a Yifas Torah. Why? Because we knew he couldn't withstand the challenge. Vice versa, everything else we can handle. And Hashem helps us to handle it. It's not just, well, siyata d'shmaya. You see by the halacha of Orla, it's the only other place where we have mention in this way of Dibra Torah Keneged Yetzer Hara. Because by the halacha of Orla, where a person plants a fruit, and it stays on the tree for 3 years. He can't do anything with it. And the fourth year, he treats it like Meister Sheni. He has to take it to Yerushalayim. And the Rashi says, you might see, takes it from a Gemara, a person will say, oh, 4 years doing this? It seems to be not possible for a person to take that challenge. And so what does the Torah say in order to make Orla more palatable to for him? To be go kenege the Yetzirah, this helps you lehosif tvuaso, to increase your tvua. You do this, you do not lose. You handle the thing for 4 years, you're not going to lose. So the fact is this, we know that when we're challenged by the Yetzirah, we can do it. We just have to want to be able to do it. That's number one. Klau gadol. We can overcome it. Yifas Torah, and Hashem helps us, gives us incentives. Oh, incentives. We can do it for incentives. He gives us the incentives. Okay? So it's interesting. If we're incentives, Lahosif Tuwaso. We can be able to do it through there. Another derech of the Yetzer Hara is doubt. He loves to keep us in doubt. Interesting, the gematria of doubt, of suffix, is doubt, is 240. It's the same gematria as Amalek. It's a tool of Amalek. I'm not going to go into Amalek now, it's a different shmooze, but it is interesting itself. Says the Mishnah, Aseh lecha rav, make for yourself a rav, histalik min asofik, and stay away from doubt, because doubt is disastrous. Doubt is murderous, and it happens. Person that is in doubt, he can be over the most terrible, terrible halachas, and that's for sure. Yeah, I was 3 days ago, I was in a part of Yerushalayim with my wife. A man, I'm walking there, and a person comes over to me and he says, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Yeah, sure." He says, "I have a copy of the Bris Chadashah that I found. I'd like to know what to do with it." It has, you know what Bris Chadashah is? don't know if I can mention it in the basement.
It's for fire. You light fires with.
You light fires with. Or you tear up, whatever it is. But the emphasis is it's what they call the New Testament. And that what we call, like, whatever. I don't want to go into that. So that's this and pay. The fact is this. So I'll tell you what my Shahoya was me. And it removed, there was no doubt. So in other words, I took it from, he said to me, maybe it goes into Seamus, because the first part is our Torah's in it. So I told him, listen, don't worry, it's nothing, it's garbage. And even though he said, but it bothered him. He says, maybe, you know, there is the Shem Hashem there. Because what happened is, it's in Hebrew. You don't know how much damage it could, it's like a mine. A mine was laid. So he wanted to know what to do. So anyway, I took it, I tore it up in front of him. Now, I don't want to pretend, here's a book, you know, here's, I tore it up in front of him. You know that wouldn't be true. But I did take a page of the Bereishis part, and I tore that part in front of him to show him it's okay to get rid of it. It's no shaila. And what do I remember? It took away all Suffolk. I know the halacha anyway, but what's the halacha? What I say? When I was in Ne'er Yisrael in Baltimore years ago, I went into Rav Yaakov Weinberg, Zecher Tzadik Livracha's office. And as I walked in, there's a book on the safer on the floor. So, you know, it calmly says, leave it. Leave it. Leave it is leave it. Rashida says leave it, you leave it. So he told me, however, he didn't give me any background, copy of the of that book. So anyway, it was not questioned. There was no question whatsoever. Paskin's up for him. What I'm saying to you is that doubt, it wasn't maybe, but there, when there's doubt, we leave opportunities for problems. It deals with kashrus all the time. The Shashiva brings in experts in kashrus through the years for us to know. Remove the doubt. Otherwise, yeah, I heard the hechshir's okay. I know so-and-so wait there and all this. I remember years ago, and again, there in Israel, that after Yom Kippur, everybody, a large number of people used to go to a certain ice cream parlor. You know, it's after Sarah, she made tshuva, after the whole elo. So, okay, before we go home, we'll get some ice cream and stuff. And so, now I know people who ate there, I say, how do you know it's kosher? Well, so-and-so eats there. So I do know this. The proprietor, the owner, asked somebody of those, how come you guys are eating here? He said, our stuff isn't kosher. So the fact of life is, that when there's doubt and there's opportunity, a lack of clarity, this is the ground for the Yetzer Hara. Our job, remove doubt. The Rosh Hashiva is here, the Mashgiach is here, the Rebbeim here, the Avreichim are here, Mamish Elter Bachram here, whatever, Baruch Hashem, we have clarification, we clarify. Outside the Yeshiva as well. But this is a wealth. Can there be anybody? The only problem will be the person's embarrassed to ask. I don't want to show I don't know. The person's bad. I ain't habayish and loymeh. But here, this is fertile ground for the Yetzer Hara to get a hold of us. God forbid. In learning, it's the same thing. There's a lack of joy in learning. And then a person doesn't want to learn more. When he learns in a cloud. Maybe this, that you ask a shayla, it's not clear. The shinantim levenecha, sheyehi divrei Torah, it should be the Torah should be clear, should be sharp in our mouth. Don't stammer, don't stutter, be able to answer. Listen, we all aspire to this, but this is the way it has to be. And therefore, when we're here, this is the place that we want to learn how to learn. Otherwise, the Yetzer Hara sours experiences for us. He robs us of that joy. One of the other areas of overcoming Yetzer Hara is to make a siyag. A siyag l'Torah. That's the way it goes. When we're able to make a siyag, we don't even come lidei aveira. Lidei means the handle. There's a handle on a cup. A handle on a pot. We don't even touch the pot. We grab the handle. Well, the fact is, we don't. It says the Mishnah. Shistaka b'shloshet dvorim. If you think of three different things, then you don't even come lidei, not even to the handle of a chet. And that's where we want to stay, far, far away. When there's high tension wires, you stay far away. And in our situation, we avoid the chet. any opportunity. You can stay far, far. We saw what happened with Yosef and Ashi's Potiphar. He ran. No, when she accosted him, even though he left part of his clothing, you know, with her, but the fact he wasn't going to take a chance. We stay far, far away for Averis. This is why here in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, 40 minutes before Shabbos, people are Madlik Neiros. And the closer we can come to that, the better it is. A person is careful, puts on tefillin, doesn't speak Divrei Chol. It's a siyag, which is a wonderful thing. It changes the nature of a person's davening. A person learns beritzifis, starting off the morning. Today I had an incident. I came over to a bacher, and he did a beautiful thing. He said to me, he indicated he's learning beritzifis a little bit later. And it's wonderful. That's the way we do it. We make a Kabbalah. It makes a difference. It changes the nature of our learning. When we start off right, you know, that's the way it goes. And don't underestimate the power of that Yetzer Hara. The fact is, we put a railing on a stairwell. God forbid, we don't want anybody to fall. And the fact is, if, you know, I've never seen anybody here. I've been here X number of years. Baruch Hashem, haven't seen anybody fall. But if, God forbid, somebody does fall down a whole flight of stairs, the stakes are high. So we put a railing there just in case. And that's what we do. We have to put railings around us to make sure that something like that never, never happens. There's a Rav here in Yerushalayim who gets up early in the morning, a Rav Erlanger from Kamenitz. He sets 2 clocks, gets up for Vesikin, 2 clocks to be able to make sure I make it, that he makes it. There's people here, I'm sure, who might even try when they get the early people who might set 2 clocks as well. It's a great, wonderful thing. I've mentioned before, people, when they see people driving on Shabbos, say, Shabbos, Shabbos. Who are they saying it to? They're not screaming it, but they're saying it to themselves. It's a siyug, so they shouldn't get desensitized by anything like this. Without a doubt, the greater the gain, the greater the safeguard we have to be able to use. Another opportunity to help ourselves is to realize who we are. We are the Bnei Melech, or the Bas Melech of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's no question, Musar Hashem Bnei Altimas. Remember, you are my son, you are my daughter, and we behave differently. A Ben Melech is pasnished from here. It's not appropriate. And the fact is, we are that cadre of people who are Hashem's Melech, Hashem's Bnei Melech. When Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz was in America, he was a godel from the last generation. He had received the key to the city of New York, the key from the mayor. The mayor said, in presenting him the key, had Darwin seen Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz, he never could have thought that man was evolved from a monkey. It just wasn't possible when you see a person with his glow and his nobility, his atzilus. This is it. And I think that when we say to ourselves, we are special, we come from this line, from this lineage. You know what happens if a person would walk into our base medrash in the morning and see how it knocks? Can you imagine the impression a person would have? I'm not talking about the mere base medrash. I'm talking about our base medrash. What a Kiddush Hashem. How special. In the morning, if a person's standing downstairs, 9 o'clock in the morning till 9:20, and sees thousands of men with a mission of learning Torah, getting on our buses, that's enough to blow a mind. Like, wow. Where do you get something like this, like us, like others, in this day and age? It just doesn't happen. And Baruch Hashem, for us it is happening. The Gemara in Gittin speaks about the son and daughter of Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. It's time of the Romans, they were both captured. She was a beautiful girl. He was a handsome boy. 2 different slave owners met and they said, you know, I have a woman who's just beautiful, this slave woman. I have a slave man, very handsome. Let's put them together. and let's have their children, they'll just, you know, we'll be machalik them, and you'll have some, I'll have some, and we'll, meanwhile we'll have just beautiful slave children. They took them in the dark of night and put her in the room together with him. They didn't know who either one was, the girl and boy, and she said, I am the daughter of Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. I'm a Kohenis Bas Kohanim Gedolim. I'm going to go with some person. And he said the same thing for himself, not realizing that they were brother and sister. And in the morning, when it became light, they realized that they were brother and sister. And the Gemara says they embraced and died because they were weak anyway. But they were so, their neshamas went to the Shemayim. But no compromise. Why? Because they realized who they were. And Hashem, in his mercy, took them away from their captors as such. Reb Shach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, wanted to know, at the time of the presidential campaign, who was the new president of the United States. And he asked, who did he ask at the time? He asked the Magid who passed away recently. Rev Glinsky. He asked Rev Glinsky, who's the president? He said, what's the difference? He said, well, when I make a bracha of Shalom Asani Goy, I want to know who to have in mind. When I heard that, every morning when I make brachas here, I have in mind two people. One is the President of the United States, and one is the Premier of the Soviet Union. But these are the two people who are probably the strongest people in the world at this time, and therefore, I have these people in mind. But Ashreinu, when we realize who we are, we are a different people, Baruch Hashem. I'm not going to deal with this subject anymore, per se. So I want to finish with these two ideas with you. The one is, Yetzer Hara tries hard to give us discouragement. If a person really gets very discouraged in life, in yeshiva, I can't learn as much as I could want to, I did with it, should just know, Asa say Yetzer. It's no joke. And I'll tell you how far it goes. There was a fellow, and this happened, I don't know where it happened, but it happened. He's a Hasidic fellow. He had tefillin that were given to him, and he passed down from generation to generation. And he used to have them, it was so special that people would take them from him and make a bracha on them. They had their own, but they wanted to use his for the bracha. One day somebody came to check tefillin, and he said, I'll do it, checking tefillin for free. Anyone who wants to have their tefillin checked, put it on the bima, and I'll spend the morning checking your tefillin. He's a reputable person. This fellow with the tefillin didn't hear it. He left the base matters, and he left his tefillin on the bima. He came back a couple hours later, and his tefillin were open. And he realized what happened. The tefillin were beautiful. The ksav was wonderful. The parchment was outstanding. There was one word missing in the whole thing. One word. That meant that this man, already older man, had never fulfilled the mitzvah tefillin, because he didn't even bother to check them. Which one is, he felt for sure that there's okay. After all, it came from generations, and it was in wonderful shape. They were puzzled. He never put on tefillin. They didn't know how to tell him. He didn't want him to have a heart attack. He came back in. They did tell him. He asked if he could get a bottle of whiskey. Somebody should get whiskey. They got the whiskey. He passed out whiskey to everybody. And he started to dance with them. And then they figured he must have been really, you know, hurt by this. So what happened? He stopped and he said, I want you to know that I am happy, because now for the rest of my life I'll be able to have kosher tefillin and be able to daven with tefillin properly. This is a way, when a person has a duchfal, it happens. There's so many different things that could. We take the opportunity and we get up and take a positive approach, and we, Baruch Hashem, overcome the Yetzer. It takes mass immediate massive, immediate action. And that's for sure. With MIA, we can do the job. All right.